Someone once made the joke that if women governed all countries in the world, we would not have any wars. Or we would have a bunch of countries not talking to each other. It does sound funny. But something I'm sure of is, women are great leaders. A simple internet search will show you how women in elected positions in government are performing in spite of the times we are in. Would you like to know what life was like under an African queen? I do have a story for you. Hello, Jammies fam. Welcome to this week's episode of Long Story Short. And as always, I'm your host, Liwa. This week, we travel with our imaginative time machines, retracing the story of a woman whose footprint is being tracked through the sands of time. So, Sintike, grab a coffee and take a seat, cause it's story time. We disembark from our time machines in a place called Zazao. This was a time of peace and progress. In the king of Zazao's palace, a child was born who was named Amina. Although born into an affluent family in that period, there was nothing noticeable about her as a child. But growing up, Amina spent most of her time with her grandfather, who taught her about political matters and warfare. At the same time, she was honing her fighting skills, training with the palace guards and soldiers. But as time went by, Amina was growing into a mature woman ready for marriage. Being a princess, she had numerous suitors. Every day. One suitor offered her 10 slaves, while another from Kano would offer her 50 male slaves and 50 female slaves. All this for Amina's hand in marriage. However, Amina never showed interest in getting married. Rather, she had lofty plans for herself. At the age of 16, the king named her Magajia, which means heir apparent. This put her in line for succession and also made her a member of the king's cabinet. After the death of her parents, a new ruler was to be chosen. Amina was the first child, followed by her sister, Zaria, and the third child, who was a boy, Karama. As was the custom of the Council of Zazao, Amina was overlooked and the kingship was handed to her brother, Karama, the third child. Fortunately for Amina, she and her brother had a common interest, war. But not a pointless one that will cost his kingdom lives of people and resources, but a war to expand Zazao's territories. And there was no one else fit to lead that charge but his sister, Amina. Within 2 years of becoming king, Karama had organized 4 major military campaigns, and Amina fought in all 4. Due to her fighting skill and bravery shown in battle, she quickly established herself as the leading warrior of Zazao. Karama's military campaigns were fruitful, but yielded very little. 10 years into his reign, he died. Following her brother's death, the kingmakers did not hesitate to make Amina their queen, since she had become the warrior the kingdom and its army respected and obeyed. Amina had worked hard to be crowned queen. What will she do with her birthright? It only took 3 months for Queen Amina to return to war. She called out to her people, telling them to sharpen their weapons. This marked the beginning of Amina's campaign. She began fighting battle after battle, war after war, all to expand Zezal's territory in order to foster prosperity through commerce. Queen Amina, with her well-trained 20,000 foot soldiers and fearsome 1,000 cavalry troops, went conquering city-states and territories that were once threats to Zezal's existence. By doing this, they were creating trade routes which paid tributes and homage to Zezal. Hence, her kingdom was prosperous. The thing is, a tribute payment could come in form of 40 eunuchs, just like that. Queen Amina boosted her kingdom's wealth and power with gold, slaves, and new crops. She's even credited to have brought kola nut to that region. She also harnessed the talent of her people in metal works by introducing metal armor. This included iron helmets, breastplates, and also chain mail to be used by her army. As Queen Amina went about conquering, she didn't leave her subjects unprotected while making them pay tribute. The cities she conquered were protected by walls she built. This served as a physical and somewhat a psychological security for the people. Some of those walls stand until this day. When she conquered Kano, the headstrong resistance of the men made Queen Amina and her soldiers ruthless in their occupation of the city. However, women found favor with her. She allowed them to pass through the city gate unharmed. Some men wanted to escape her wrath, dressed as women just so they could pass through. Today, the gate is known as Kofar Mata in Kano City. Even as queen, Amina still got advances from rulers everywhere, but she never committed to anyone. Although every new place she went, she took a temporary lover among the people she had conquered. On one of her conquests, the warrior queen died in battle, bringing an end to her 34-year campaign and rule over Zezal and its territories. During colonization, Zezal was renamed Zaria by the British. Today, a statue of the warrior queen graces the front lawn of Nigeria's National Theater in Lagos, while halls of residence at the University of Lagos and the Ahmadu Bello University in Zaria and a school in Kaduna bear her name. Queen Amina's legacy, however, speaks of more than these monuments. Queen Amina, without a doubt, managed to forge and imprint a legacy that contradicts all stereotypes in women's leadership in patriarchal African societies, where the inequality that women face affects virtually all aspects of life. The challenges women in Nigeria and across Africa face is still evident. Yet, the legacies and examples of Queen Amina signifies that there are possibilities for African women to reshape societies and communities. For Amina's exploits, she earned this legend from her people.
Amina, Yoruba Kwenta Sanrana,
which could be translated as Amina, daughter of Nikatao, a woman as capable as a man.
Care to share your thoughts about this episode? Leave a review or your suggestions on our platform or on iTunes. Join me on the next episode of Long Story Short on Jamit FM. I've been your host, Liwa.
Long Story Short was produced by Liwa and I, Kariza.
This episode was edited, mixed and mastered by Aiko Rizu. Long story short, is the production of Jamit Media.